Tonight, I'd like to invite you back over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1.
Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, asking once again for your blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds. Lord, that we might hear from you and that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you would strengthen the faith that you've given to us to honor and glorify you. And Lord, to empower our lives to be your light and the salt of the earth that you've called us to be, that we might point others and be a witness, Lord, not only to point them to you for salvation, but Lord, that they might see you in us and your grace, and we'll thank you for that. Again, bless each one here tonight, Lord, and those who are unable to be here. May you be honored and glorified and our lives drawn closer to you, and Lord, to be the witnesses that you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, the title of the message is, Lord, simply, Lord, teach us to pray, or a heartfelt desire, an honest and heartfelt desire. Do you believe that? As you consider that verse this evening, that was all of a sudden he had this desire as he was hearing the Lord pray and he was contemplating what prayer was all about. He said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. That's an important statement. And so we're just going to look at two thoughts this evening. And that is simply ask like you would a close friend, and then ask like you would your father. And so as we consider this, I want to look at just the beginning portion of this text here. And here we find a testimony of John's disciples' prayer life. You ever stop to think about that? The disciples of John the Baptist had such a prayer life that this disciple said, Lord, teach us to pray just like John taught his disciples. I mean, when John's disciples prayed, they knew God was in on it. Well, listen, John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, was he not? I mean, so he was about, wouldn't you say he was about the kingdom business? John's life was dedicated to the kingdom of God, and I believe he taught his disciples to do the same. And I think God wants his disciples, us, you and I, to be about the master's business and to be about the kingdom's business. And so consider this when we look at our text here, that this was a testimony of John's disciples' prayer life. And then we're going to take a little bit of a look at what the Lord said to them. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." That's an important request. And by the way, I would tend to say that that came out of a genuine desire to experience what they were getting. I mean, if prayer was just prayer, why try to pray like anybody else? If one prayer was just the same as any other prayer, why would it matter? But it does matter. See, because when some people pray, they touch heaven. Amen? And these disciples said, you know what? We don't want to have a powerless prayer. We want to know that we are communicating with God. God is hearing us, and we are hearing him. So, Lord, teach us to pray. That was a request, right? Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So did the Lord hear what they were saying? And then he answered in kind. So let's look at what the Lord is saying, because the request was, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. So look at verse 2 here. "And he said unto them, when ye pray," remember, teach us how John taught his disciples, "when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth." That's what John the Baptist was all about, and that's what his disciples were all about. They were all about the kingdom of God working itself out on earth as it is in heaven. And how will that ever take place? If God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, he certainly doesn't expect the world to bring that to pass, but he does expect God's people to be in a place where God can work through them. By the way, you and I cannot bring the works of heaven from our own lives. It must come from the Lord through us for His honor and glory. And that's what the Lord is saying to them. He's saying, listen, He says, this is how you pray then. Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And that ought to be our genuine request. Lord, may Your will be done in my life. And then so verse 3 says, give us day by day our daily bread. Look at the focus. Are they worried about, Lord, help us to move our political leaders. Lord, help us to know how to invest in the stock market. Lord, no, none of that, right? And by the way, listen, I'm not saying any of those things are wrong to do, but their primary thought, their primary purpose, their primary goal, above all things, was, Lord, that Your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that You would give us what we stand in need of so that we would not worry, as unbelievers do, about where their food and where their clothing are going to come from. Because remember, the Lord said, aren't you, listen, look at all that Solomon had, and yet he was not arrayed like the flowers of the field and how the birds were taken care of, right? The birds don't worry about their food, do they? They know that they're going to, my goodness, do you know? Has anybody told the birds that COVID has affected our country and maybe they may not get their food? You think they even knew COVID happened? No, they weren't even, but you know what? They glorified the Lord and the Lord provided for them. See, if we listen to the world, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't use wisdom in some things, but I think sometimes things are overblown. Sometimes things go over. And again, I'm not saying that we don't use common sense and that we don't, but listen, those things should not grip our hearts to where we live in fear and not trusting that God holds us in His hands. Do you mean God was still in control even in the midst of COVID? Could that possibly be? And then, of course, now, where is it at? Where is it at? You don't see, I mean, you see very little. And my goodness, politicians are carrying on like COVID, like never even happened. And so you got to scratch your head and say, listen, if we're not careful, we'll fall into the plans of the devil and live in fear instead of by faith. And again, it's not that we shouldn't take care of ourselves and be careful, but listen, that's not where our trust. Remember, the word faith and trust is interchangeable. Our trust is in the Lord. Amen. Our faith is in God. And allow Him to lead us. Okay, whatever you think the Lord's leading you to do, do it, but we shouldn't worry, right? And so he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Then look at verse 4, ready? And forgive us our sins. This is important, Lord. Forgive us. That means we have sins, don't we? That means we're not perfect. That means we make mistakes. That means we fail, right? So he says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. In other words, those who have wronged us, we don't hold any grudges. And listen, only God can do that in our lives. Do you know what I'm reminded of? And I want you to know, I have feelings too. Amen? My feelings can be hurt, but I need to go beyond my feelings and go by faith. Do I not? I need to go beyond, because we don't live by our feelings. We live by faith, and that word is trust in the Lord. And here's what I understand. Even if it's a fellow brother or sister in Christ, right? Okay, somebody says something to me as a believer that's another believer, and it might be offensive. I mean, it could be offensive to where I'm even offended. Has that ever, don't answer this, has that ever happened to you, right? It could be another brother or sister who's offended. All right, first of all, have you ever had a bad day? Right? We've all had bad days. So we ought to just figure maybe they've had a bad day. Or, listen, maybe they're out of fellowship with the Lord. Have we ever been out of fellowship with the Lord? And has God brought you back into fellowship and will continue to bring you back and will never keep you from being back, right? So just as God is merciful to us, may we be able to show the mercy of God, not ours. Because if we look to our mercy, it's 70, it's 7 times 7, right? And it's not spirit led. It's not eternal. It's a temporal thing. It's not eternal. And so he says, forgive us at our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's a good way to start out. Lord, help me to be kingdom minded, Lord, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help me to not hold any grudges. To forgive those that maybe have wronged me. And guess what? They will. Don't be surprised that somebody's going to wrong you, because we will wrong somebody else. Before life's done, we're going to say something or we're going to do something that might be offensive to somebody else without ever intending to be offensive. We might do that. Or we might be, to the end of ourselves, we might be having a bad day, and we may not be walking in the Spirit, and we will blow it before life is over. We're going to blow it, and wouldn't you want God to forgive you? And so we should be, and wouldn't you want other Christians to forgive you if you've done something wrong? And don't hold anything to their account. I'll forgive them, but boy, oh boy, am I not going to forget. Well, that's not Christ-like, right? Would you like the Lord to forgive you that way? We wouldn't be anywhere. We would never be able to be used for the honor and glory of the Lord. And this disciple that asked the Lord this said, that's how John taught his disciples. And the Lord said, okay, since you asked, I'm going to show you how John taught his disciples. You think the Lord knew how John taught his disciples to pray? Absolutely. Now he goes, he says, those are the primary requests that we ought to be focused on. First of all, Lord, your kingdom in my life. Because if your kingdom's not in my life, I'm not going to forgive anybody. You follow me? If I'm not wanting your will to be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven, the rest is null, right? Forget about the rest. It's just not going to happen, and I'm not going to be able to hear from the Lord because I'm not wanting His will to be done in my life as it is in heaven. I'm not looking at the kingdom. I'm not concerned about the kingdom. I may be a child of God, believe it or not, and not concerned about the kingdom of heaven. Is that possible? That's amazing. David, at one point, was not thinking about the kingdom of heaven. Peter, when he told the Lord he shouldn't go to the cross, was not savoring the things of God, but the things of man. And he told him, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter, who walked with the Lord, couldn't have been any closer physically to the Lord, and missed him 100 miles off. And so the first thing is, Lord, that your will would be done in my life as it is in heaven. That your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then everything else can follow suit. Then we can forgive others as they have wronged us. We can just be dependent upon, Lord, all I need. Lord, I know. Listen, Lord, I'm asking you to provide for my daily needs. You will provide for that. Whatever that might be. That's not just food. That's whatever I need. You know, we have emotional needs. Will God provide for those? Day by day, yeah, he will. And then not only that, he'll provide for our physical needs. He holds us in his hands. He says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. And don't worry about all these other things, right? Focus on me, and I'll bring them to pass in your life. That's a wonderful promise of the Lord. And then on top of that, we'll be able to forgive others their wrong. And then we can ask the Lord for deliverance. Because if we can't forgive others as God has forgiven us, we are in sin. We are not in the Spirit of Christ if we're holding grudges. If we have ill will, do you follow? Forget about the rest. We have to be willing to forgive. Listen, my goodness, it's like the story of the servant who owed a small amount and was forgiven, or a large amount, I'm sorry. And he was forgiven, and somebody owed him a pittance in comparison, and he had him thrown in jail. He wasn't willing to forgive, and that's not the way it ought to be. Okay, now, last, the two thoughts that we're looking at. He says, ask like you would a close friend. Look at verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. That's a pretty good friend. Who do you know? You may not have one. Who do you know that you could go to at midnight? I hope you do. I think we probably all have somebody that we think we could go to, that we could call them at midnight. I got a call at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And one of my sisters called up with a concern. And so we chatted back and forth. 2 in the morning, okay? And anyway, afterwards, she was calmed down. Everything was fine, right? And everything got worked out. And she was apologetic for calling me that late. And I told her, I said, that's what family's for. Was it an inconvenience? You think I enjoyed waking up at 2 in the morning? No. But I would do it again. Because that love goes beyond itself. Now, that's not what my flesh wants to do. You follow? But love moves us to try to be a blessing and to try, you see the difference? Try to encourage. Listen, you have a friend in the Lord that sticks closer than a brother. And you can knock on his door anytime. In fact, our friend, you'll never find him sleeping. He's always ready there for an answer, to give us an answer. So he says, and he said unto them, his disciples, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So the Lord is saying this with the idea that he knew that everybody's got a good friend that they think, or at least you think you can go to at midnight, right? For a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise. We're all in bed. I can't rise and give you to eat, give thee. Verse 8, I say unto you, listen to this, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his persistence in telling him it's important, he will rise. He will rise and give him as much, as many as he needeth. He will rise. He will be moved. Amen? And so will your heavenly Father be moved by your approach in your time of need. And so he says, verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Do you think he's talking about an earthly friend at this particular point? It's shifted now. And you knew it too. He went from the friend who was knocking at midnight, and when he moved over here in verse 9, and he says, and I say unto you, we all knew who he was talking about. Isn't that amazing? Because God knows us and knows even what we need before we ask him. You knew who he was talking about. And so take advantage of that and knock. He says, just like a close friend, oh, but he's so much closer than any earthly friend we would ever have. And then lastly, ask as you would ask your father. So if a friend isn't good enough for you, if a friend won't work, a father who loves his children is going to go above and beyond to make it happen. Amen? To make it happen. If it's a need, Which one of you, if it was a definite need and you could provide and you could bring it to pass, no matter what it cost you, no matter what inconvenience, would you not do that for your children? Notice verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Rhetorical question, right? No answer needed. Of course not. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil, sinners, provoke to evil, provoke to anger, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Spirit. To have any of this come to pass that God has asked of me, I need the Holy Spirit for every one of them. And listen, And when God is involved, every one of them will come to pass. He will meet how many of my needs? Some? Most? Or all? So tonight, may we say as this disciple, Lord, teach me to pray. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word, the wisdom, the understanding, the light that it brings into our life, that you bring, Lord, into our hearts and our minds. Speak to us, Lord. Remind us that we may call upon you anytime to fulfill your will in our lives. And Lord, may we take advantage of the gift that you've given to us of eternal life and being joint heirs with Christ and have been given all of the promises in your word that you will bring to pass for the asking, Lord. Bless the invitation. Draw us closer to you and to one another, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.